him out,
getting him so that he was stable, had some people on. Now that we've gone through about a year, I think it's time I fire back up GNA. And don't know if we're going to be doing it every week, because that was pretty stressful getting content out every week. And since that was not fun after a while, I think we might just slow it down a little bit. Maybe every other week. Maybe sometimes every week. Maybe it's every 3 weeks. Who the hell knows? Well, why are you listening to me? You know who I am. Let's go and talk to some people who came back to join us for this, well, after a year break, inaugural episode. I had some other words there that I wanted to say, but I forgot what they were. Zyber, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, like you, because of certain circumstances. Took a break, and I as well assisted our friend Devin with his show for a year, and now breaking away from that, mostly because, well, I have roots here and want to see this start to flourish again. And you know what? Bi-weekly sounds pretty fucking delicious, man.
Yeah, doing a podcast every week, like, it was fun, but, like, now I'm getting older, and I'm getting older, I'm 42 now? I'm 40-something. I think I'm 42.
Well, I'm 44 in about a week, so.
Yeah, and I think you're 2 years.
Yeah.
Or you're a year past me, born in the same year, but you're a year and whatever months. So, yeah, I think I'm 42.
Well, I was born in 1980.
You were born in 80?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Then you got me by 2 years. No, you got me by a year. No, a year. Wait a minute. When the fuck was I born? Ding. Marijuana affects the memory. Anyway, and we're also joined by Aaron the Destroyer. Aaron, how have you been?
I have been pretty good. I didn't take a year off for any special reason, just like general life kind of getting in the way and getting drunk once a week, every single week, started to, you know, wear on me after a while, especially since I'm trying to be healthy, but I'm excited. I'm really excited to like be back on. I miss this a lot.
It does, man. It does wear on you. And like, it was always fun. Don't get me wrong. Like, it was totally fun the entire time, but it starts to wear on you where you're like, man, all right. You got to like, you almost got to condition yourself to do it every week. It's like preparing yourself to work out. Like, you know, man, I gotta have a little bit in here, a little bit there, just so I'm like maintaining and I'm good for the Friday when it rolls along. But yeah, it's a lot. It was a lot.
I think one of the craziest things was seeing friendships blossom the way they have, and then along the way finding out that, you know, one of your friends is actually a cousin by marriage, right, Aaron?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, it's a small world. It's really weird, right? How I just messaged to get on the podcast out of nowhere and then found out that like we all have ties to like the same area and know people. It's really weird how it turned out like that.
It's definitely a small world. Well, some of the things that have been going on in the past year, as we already talked about, thoughts and shots is still going, and they're going pretty strong. So if you ever get a chance, go check out Devin and Thoughts and Shots. We still love the guy and hoping he succeeds on all of his dreams. And what have I been like? Okay. So I guess we'll start off. What have we been doing for the past year? Like, dead serious. What have we been doing? I've been playing a bunch of games because that's what I do. I always play a bunch of games. I also took up, miniature painting, because a dude told me about these things called speed paints, and I was like, oh my god, these things sound amazing. And I started painting miniatures again. Like, I used to paint miniatures, but I was really sucky at it. But these things, totally awesome. I'll probably be throwing some stuff up on the GNA Facebook at some point in time of some of the things that are getting painted. And I know Zyber's been painting for a while, so I'll probably steal some of his photos and put them up there. I'll get into what I've been playing later. But also, I started last May. Yeah, last May, I started on a journey, and I'm going to call it a journey because
it's definitely a journey, man.
I've gone many miles, many, many miles. I took up running because I wanted to go out. quick story time with Cecil, because it can't be a friggin' GNA without story time with Cecil. So I watched this guy. It's called Ghost Town Living on YouTube. It's one of like the very few. I think there's only like six channels I subscribe to on YouTube. Because I just, me personally, I don't, there's not a lot of things that I'd like to watch on YouTube. And if it is, it's glancing. But it's called Ghost Town Living. It's this guy named Brent. He bought and I don't know if I've talked about it before on the podcast. He bought an old silver mining town called Cerro Gordo out in California. The dude is wild. He literally just like dumped all of his money or most of his money or whatever into buying this old town. Well, last May, and he's done, had a bunch of videos on there. It's really cool. Doing exploration of it all. But last May, he did a run. He called it the Cerro Gordo Silver Run, I think is what it was called. And it was basically a bunch of people he really knew got together and ran up the trail to Cerro Gordo. It's an 8-mile trail. It's about 4,300 feet. It's 4,800 feet ascent. And they literally run up it. And at the end, they, you know, have a big meal and it's just like a party. It's like a 5K or a 10K or whatever. And I don't mean it's like a 5K, but like a run, like a 5K. Didn't mean it was, I wasn't comparing it to a 5K because I know it's more like a 10K. Actually, it's farther than a 10K now I'm thinking about it. Anyway, I digress. So I decided back last May, man, that seems like fun. I want to go do that. I'm in my 40s. Why the hell would I think that I can go do that? Like what? I've never run. Like best I ever ran in high school was like a 9 minute and 52 or 48 second mile ever. It's the best I've ever done. And after getting done with that, I promptly fell on the ground and I'm pretty sure my soul left my body and then came back a few hours later because like, hey, we got nowhere to go. So I've been running. That's been my big thing over the past year, other than helping Thoughts and Shots. That's literally been my big thing. That's all I've really been doing. I run 2 to 3 times a week. I'm now running at least 2 5Ks a week, sometimes more. And like every other week, I'm running about a 6K in there just to like extend that mileage out there. Oh, and I keep elevating my incline because I've got to get to like, I don't know, some shit like 11% incline to survive. But anyways, that's my, in a nutshell. I'm sure as the podcast goes on, I'll have more and more stories.
I thought that you, in our talk yesterday, you're training at 11, but the grade is 10.
You're right. I did find out yesterday that the grade equals out to be average 10% incline. I've been training to go 11%. So like when I do my strenuous ones, I'll go at 11% for 30 minutes to an hour and see how far I can get. But most of them, I've been doing like my 3 or my 5 and 10 Ks. I've been doing a 2% incline. And I've been slowly increasing that. So I started at 1% and then I slowly increased it to 1.5 and now I'm slowly increasing it to 2. But that I'm doing so that I can run that. I'm running, trying to run 3 miles in 30 minutes at that pace, figuring if I can condition myself to that, by the time I get to like 6 to 8% and I can do 3 miles at that, I'll be able to survive the 8 miles. That's my hope. But let's see what everybody else has been doing for the past year, since this is like the catch up. Aaron, what have you been doing for the past year?
So I had a big career transition. So for most of my life, I've done like manual labor type jobs, but now I'm in a office setting and have found myself in a completely different realm than I've ever been in before, learning a different field. And I'm now an office representative, HR receptionist. I wear many hats, I guess. So to go along with that, I started getting more into fitness because I didn't want to be sedentary anymore. So I've been doing CrossFit style training for 3-4 months. I got into it pretty seriously 3 months ago, but I kind of dipped my toe in the water before then. So yeah, it's been a lot. It's definitely been a lesson in humility, you know, getting pushed past your limits and then just laying on the ground, focusing on trying to breathe after the workout is over. That's pretty much what I've been doing. I haven't done a lot of gaming, not as much as I want, unfortunately, because of the new schedule. But in a nutshell, that's kind of where I'm at with things.
Dude, that's awesome. That's fan-friggin-tastic. It's always like, I can remember back when I started my career in IT, like not when I was fixing people's computer and shit, because I've been doing that forever. But when I finally started my career in IT, and it was just like, I'm not like, I'm not throwing hay. I'm not fucking raking a yard. I'm doing it. I'm doing the dream.
Yeah, it's been wild. Like, I have to learn to read blueprints and stuff. Like, I need to kind of be able to delve into what looks like, you know, a pile of random colored lines with numbers next to them and, like, pull out all this information. It's super duper different than what I'm used to. It's really weird. And then every once in a while, I kind of look back at it, and I'm like, wow, this is so strange. And it's such a, like, a niche thing that I'm doing. And I'm like, how did I get here? Like, I don't know how I just kind of lucked into this.
Dude, that's like some of the best parts is just lucking into things like that. And the change, just the change of doing something different than you're normally doing is always like, goddamn. I love it. I absolutely love it. Zyber, what about you, man? I mean, you've been running with thoughts and shots with me over there in Devon, but what else have you been doing this past year?
This past year, keeping in stride with everybody else's fitness. If we're talking about last January to now, I lost 35 pounds. So yeah. That's always a plus. Last January, I was getting close to 300 pounds, and now I'm down in the 220s area, 230s.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
And that's holding strong. I don't drink as much anymore. So
yeah,
there's that. I can't say that though, but I do drink a lot. It's just non-alcoholic and mostly water.
That tracks. That's
been one of my goals. Is to get back to drinking more water than anything else.
I actually found something that helps me drink an immense amount of water, like more water than I thought I could ever drink ever in my entire life.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If you're ever in your life thinking to yourself, I don't drink enough water, something that will force you to, and here's a shameless plug, Stony Patch Kids. Telling you, you take one or two of these bad Stony boys. Patch. Oh,
good stuff, man.
45 minutes later, you're sitting there going, I need water. A lot of it.
Yeah, the cotton mouth is real with the Stony Patch.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But yeah,
cotton mouth, that's not to be confused with cock and mouth.
Yes, that's a very valid point. That's something else I've actually started diving into
what,
in the past
cock
year.
And mouth?
Congratulations.
Yeah, cock and mouth. Yeah, it's, I've been doing a lot of that, actually. I find it's an easy way to make $20. Like, who knew?
$20 is $20, man. I mean, you got to put gas in the hoopty somehow.
Facts. Oh, interesting. Hold on a second. Remember I was telling you about that it bombing out, that Skype recorder? Well, it just bombed out.
Oh, like it stopped recording us?
Yeah. Give me just 2 seconds. I've been having this problem before, but that's why I've been like, that's why I've been diligently monitoring it this time.
I'm going to get another little drinky drink and maybe half a stony.
Okay, go for it. We'll take this moment to sit here and reflect on technology and how helpful it is sometimes and how helpful it's not at times.
Or the gentlemanly obscenities of the world.
Obscenity.
Oh, obscenity. Ah, oh, man. Feel like we should be playing the Jeopardy theme song.
Do 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 boop do do boop 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 boop. And there we go, I can record again.
All right.
Now let's see how long it records for. That'll be the interesting part.
I mean, the first time around it did over an hour, right?
Hopefully it can go for at least that long. But anyways, back to what we were talking about. We were talking about Stony Patch Kids.
Yes.
And how much they make your mouth dry. And that's actually something else that I have dove into in this past year. I don't know how many people know, but I suffer from horrible, horrible insomnia. So one of the things that I was talking to my doctor about, and they said, well, have you ever tried THC? And I'm like, I've gotten like contact high and stuff. I've never really gotten down to it, though. And he's like, well, you should try it. I'm like, are you telling me I should smoke weed? And he's like, yes, I'm telling you, you should smoke weed. I'm like, okay. He's like, it's not as bad as people always made it out to be. And I was like, well, I never thought it was bad. I just didn't think it was for me. He's like, well, here's what you do. And he gave me this whole regimen for microdosing and all this other stuff. And I'm telling you, ever since I started taking like THC at night before I go to bed, I pass out and I actually sleep an entire night, which is absolutely amazing. And also horribly terrifying, because I've never actually lost 8 hours, like, altogether. Like, you know, because you lose time when you go to sleep. I'm so used to, like, losing an hour or so, or, you know, losing, like, 30 minutes or something, that losing 8 hours straight in a row is actually kind of disconcerting when it starts to happen. So, yeah, I'm a little bit greener, and that's been helping out a lot, too. So that's another thing that's been happening in the year.
Yeah, I can concur on that. I've gotten a little bit more greener over the last year since New York State became a recreational accepted state.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does help on those nights where I feel a session of no sleep coming. Before that, I used to do these photography, like, bits on my Instagram of the no sleep sessions, where, like, just insomniac rage of going snapping photos at all hours of the day and just posting stuff from those adventures. And half the time, I'd get back after, like, say, being up for almost 72 hours, taking photos, passing out, forgetting I have photos, and then finding photos on the cards, rendering them, you're like, oh, okay, no sleep adventures again.
Yeah, man. Yeah, not getting sleep is wild. So, yeah, now I'm sleeping a bit better. I'm not sleeping 8 hours a night every night, but I'm still getting more sleep, which is, I guess, better and healthier. I've also found running helps tire me the fuck out. Like, damn. I get done with a run at the end of the day, and, like, I'm a chair ornament. I don't even need to take anything. I can just sit there and close my eyes and boop, I'm out. But yeah, it's been a wild year. It's been a good year. I mean, like, this year has definitely been good to me. I started a new job back at the end of 2021. So about the time I actually stopped recording GNA, where we just took a year hiatus. It was right around then I changed jobs and also focused on my new job a bit. So that helped me out a bunch, because I was really more less focused on, man, I got to get content out every single week too. More of a, hey, I'm joining in and I'm just helping out with the creative process and all that stuff. But we forgot one of the most important aspect, or one of the most important segments. What is everybody drinking? I saw you grabbed a tasty beverage out of the fridge there, Aaron. What are you drinking?
So I have a little bit of a Guinness Extra Stout left, which that's my normal go-to. I got a Sam Adams Cold Snap White Ale. I'd never had one of those before. It's like almost like an IPA with, like, the fruitiness of it, but then it has your typical, like, beer flavor underneath that. So I actually kind of like it. Like, it's almost like a mix of those two things. I don't know if I'm probably describing that horrendously.
So you would say it's like a in-between of a Sam Lager and an IPA.
I love how when you said lager, you had to throw a Boston accent on it.
Yep. Always, man.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. At least to me, but I don't have, really nice palate, and I usually don't describe any of these very well. I'm not good at it, but yeah, it's pretty good. And then I have Diet Cranberry Juice because I'm nuts and I really like that. I have like a whole jug that I've been through almost today.
Is that the grape cran?
Yeah, it's the diet one.
Oh.
Yeah, it's so good. I drink it all the time.
It is literally so good. It is probably the best diet cran I have ever seen or ever had.
They have the...
If you pull up a bottle of it, I'm going to freak out.
Do you have one?
I got the best diet drink there is right there. Good old water.
Touché.
I cut out a lot of unnecessary sugars for the most part when it comes to my drinks. I haven't had soda in a while. I don't drink things with artificial sweeteners either. Like anything with aspartame, I try to cut out because it upsets my stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Any sort of artificial stuff like that. It really tears up my guts, and I already have enough gastral and intestinal issues as it
is. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Cecil knows that.
Okay.
I mean, also, I've been pretty steady at making a pilgrimage to visit this guy every year. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, last time he was over, and this is my fault. I take full responsibility.
No. This is my fault.
No. No.
I thought it was going to be just a cup, a little normal espresso cup, okay. Not a mug that's like 8 shots of espresso.
In my defense, I don't drink espresso. I'm very, very rarely have ever drank espresso in my life. So I learned espresso making from my grandfather. My grandfather was Italian, 100% through and through from Sicily. So when my grandfather would make espresso, he would take his espresso maker. And it was a metal pot. And Zyber knows what I'm talking about, but I'm going to try to describe this for the people listening. It was a metal pot. It stood about 8 to 12 inches high. It had a reservoir in bottom where you would unscrew it at the middle and you fill the bottom with water. And then there's this little funnel looking thing that's got a grate in it. But the funnel...
Yeah, it's like a percolator.
Yeah, it's a percolator, but it looks like a funnel that you then pack with your espresso. And the espresso I have is literally the exact same espresso that my grandfather used to get because I found it. And he said, yeah, if you ever find, whenever you get this, you always put it in the freezer, keep it in the freezer because it'll stay a lot longer. So I always keep my espresso in the freezer. And when people come over, I make them espresso. But you pack this stuff in, and I mean you pack it. You pack it like you're packing like the tightest bowl of your life. Like you shove as much in here, and you make this a solid brick in there. And then you slap it into the bottom basin where the water is, and then the top part screws on, and it's got these little filter holes through it. It screws on, you put it on the stove. It's meant for a gas stove, but you can do it on a electric stove too. And it heats up the bottom, heats the water up. The water then steams and forces its way through the top. And it forces through the espresso grounds and then up through this little nub in the center of this top, which has a container that stores the espresso. And it percolates up through there and it makes espresso. Well, my grandfather always used to drink that whole thing. He would make an espresso for himself, and he would have one every morning and every evening. He would pour it into a mug, and he would pour a little anisette in it and maybe throw a coffee bean in there if he felt so desired, and he would drink his espresso. So that's when Zyber said, hey, I could really use an espresso, I said, hey, I can make an espresso. So I made him an espresso that a 70-year-old Italian man would have been drinking, and he had been drinking every day, twice a day, for the past probably 70 years. He probably drank it out of the womb.
Yeah, but in like hindsight, like 2 ounces normal espresso compared to like 10 ounce mug that Cecil gave me, I should have, like, you know, maybe only had a couple sips and set it aside for later, not drink basically the whole mug, for a walk around a battlefield and nearly crap myself.
Dude, you drank the, like as you were about 3/4 of the way through that, I like saw the look on your face and I got a little like nervous of like, "Rutrow, are you okay?" And I think I even said, it's like, "You okay? Did I make too much?" And you're like, I think you said something like, it's a bit much, but no, it's okay. It's fine. It's good. Thank you." And like you muscled through it. You did. You muscled your way through it. And then it was probably about 20 minutes later, we were at a battlefield. And not one of those battlefields like, "Oh, there's an exhibit. You walk through the exhibit and check things out." No, like there's miles of trails of this battlefield. We start to walk and we only get maybe.
I'm just glad we were able to make it through the museum part. We got to that one big boy cannon.
Oh, yeah.
And then the pangs hit really, really hard. Like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
Well, I remember we got to the T junction and I said, "All right, man, do you want to go left? Or do you want to go right?" And you went, "I want to go back." And I went, "Huh?"
Yes.
And I saw you doing like the stand up straight clench. And I realized, oh, my. And you're like, yeah, I gotta go. I'm like, okay, let's go. I felt so bad, by the way.
No, man, it is my own, fault. I could have stopped drinking that at any time and been okay. But I chose to drink the whole thing and I chose poorly.
Say, like, literally, it's the guy from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He chose poorly.
So did you end up having to, you know, make like an emergency pit stop in the middle of wherever this was? Like, was this like a field? Like, was it like battlefield? Like you're seeing, like you're in a big field where there was artillery and stuff, or is this like more wooded? Like, did you have to like relieve yourself in the middle of a field and you're just
nobody else is. We got back to his place because I wasn't porta pottying this. This was not a porta potty kind of movement. I was at the point of where I don't care if I have to stick my thumb up my ass to block it. I'm not crapping here.
Oh, see, I have a radically different attitude. I was on a hike and so to get to the head of the hiking trail was an hour off of the main road. So there's nowhere. Yeah. So that's an hour drive through the middle of nowhere to get to the head of the trail. And then to get to the area we wanted to be at was like a 45 minute walk. There are no bathrooms. Right at the head of the trail, there was like a dilapidated porta potty. Like there was no floor. It was just like the standing structure. And then you open the door and it was like a black hole. And so I was like, you know what? I'll be fine. Like, this is cool. I'm not going to do that. So we just went on the hike. And about an hour later, we were at the area that we were going to be hanging out at. And I was like, I have to go like right now. And they were like, "Well, what do you want us to do? Like, you're going to have an hour almost to the car and then another hour." I'm like, "Well, this is not going to work." I'm like, "So I'm going to walk into the woods and I'm going to shit like in the woods."
Yeah, we weren't far into the trail. If we were, then that would have been the situation. I would have said to Cecil, "I got to find a tree, man. I seriously got to find a tree." And hope I didn't grab poison ivy because it looked like there was a lot of it.
There was.
I got a lot lucky. Of poison ivy. I got lucky. There was no poison ivy. But I did one time go on another hiking trail and I thought that where I was going, I didn't have to shit myself this time, so it wasn't as bad, but like I had to go. And I thought I walked far enough off the trail that nobody would see me. But what I didn't take into account was that the first part of the trail was all downhill and you parked like on the side of the road, like a highway.
Yeah.
So from the highway, people that look over that guardrail could see me going to the bathroom. but people on the trail couldn't. And that's not something I realized until a big group of people parked and I saw their cars. And then there was like 20 people that looked over the railing to probably see what I was doing. And then when they realized what I was doing, they were like, oh. And so I had an audience once, but it wasn't my fault. I didn't know.
I was going to say, yeah, that's where you panically are like, all right, well, do I just pretend not to move and like I'm a statue, or do I just keep going and, you know, hope that nobody's a pervert up there?
I just kept going. I was like, we're already there. I was already like on the ground. It was too late. Like, I wasn't going to try to stop and then like pull my pants up and run somewhere else. I was like, we're already in the middle of this. It's just time to already commit, really. Yeah, I was
already committed.
100% committed. I was like, maybe they'll catch up to me on the trail. Like, I don't know. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah, we had groups of people walking around, and that would have been the situation if we were a little deeper into this trail.
Oh, yeah.
I think, I can't remember, like, where we were. The river at the bottom of that ravine, that was the James River, right?
No, that wasn't the James. The James was a bit farther off. That was, I want to say that river was the Appomattox.
Okay. That was the same one for the fort that we went to?
No, that was the James. That was where okay. It inlet to the James.
All right. But yeah, if we were closer to that river, my ass would have been dunked in that water.
Oh, yeah.
That's certain.
Yeah, he would have just done the side. He, you know, with the way things were, I might have been sitting there like holding his hands, doing the cross hands thing, and just holding him out over the edge. It's been like, all right, man, just tell me when you want to shake. I'll shake you.
That's a hallmark of a lifelong friendship, I think. If someone's willing to hold on to you while you violently shit yourself, I think that's something special.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's my brother. Even though we have no blood, he's still my brother.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that at some point in time, I am going to shit my pants and I'm going to look Zyber straight in the eye and go, I need your help. I need no questions asked. I need your pants. And he's going to go, it's cool. And he's just hand them right to me.
Yeah, I hand them right over. Like, all right, if you fit them. I mean, they might look like the Hulk just ran through them, but hey.
Yeah, just all of a sudden I'm wearing high water. So what happened to your pants? Don't we don't talk about that. It's like just we don't
they're,
talk
they're
about
they're not high waters. They're pants. Now capris.
Yeah, they're not high waters. They're capris now.
And you're we don't just talk a trendsetter. About it's trend setting.
Exactly.
You're starting a movement.
Because well, the movement, movement started at. Oh, so. I am drinking. I'm actually drinking fairly light because I've stopped drinking a ton. I still drink a little bit, more so to enjoy now. Like I still drank to enjoy before, but I do it much more now to enjoy. So I am actually drinking a Nutty Irishman because I just felt a Nutty Irishman for Angelico and Bailey's. It's a nice smooth drink with a little nutty aftertaste, creamy, a little bit of ice to thin it out, make it a little bit, make it, keep it cold. But yeah. There's that. And then if I so desire, I've got a little bit of Kraken rum left over because who doesn't like Kraken rum? And if you don't like Kraken rum, well, I guess you
I
don't
like rum,
Kraken rum,
but I don't like crack.
Well, have you tried crack in rum? I mean, try everything at least once.
Oh, yeah. I did that one night where it was you, Commando Slippy. And Stainsby, and we're doing a show and drinking Kraken and playing Sea of Thieves and drank a whole goddamn handle of Kraken rum. That was an interesting night.
That was. Yeah, drinking rum playing Sea of Thieves.
As for me, I don't know if you're done or not.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'm just drinking nice.
I just have a Guinness. A tall boy Guinness, and
yes.
That's what I'm tossing back right now.
Yeah.
From the can, I didn't pour it out into a glass. I know.
Heathen.
Bad on me. I know. I'm just lazy right now.
It's all good, man. Hey, you know what though? Are you enjoying it?
Absolutely.
That's what life is about. As long as you're enjoying it. And that's like been one of my biggest focus over this last year is just enjoying. Like, seriously. There's so much stuff that happens around us. So much crazy shit that, like, it's just not enjoying things. Like, doing, like, I don't know. Other things that have happened, I've cut a ton of toxicity out in my life, and I found that it has helped me significantly because I found that I was getting, like, I'm an asshole. I've always said I'm an asshole. I'm an asshole because I'm blunt. Like, if you're doing something stupid, I say, hey, you're doing something stupid. If I'm doing something stupid, I hope somebody tells me I'm doing something stupid. But I've always been that kind of asshole. And I started finding myself turning into a much different kind of asshole. And it was really like I was starting to get angry all the time. And it was like, man, I'm an angry person, but I'm not like outwardly angry like that all the time. So, man, I can tell you over the past year, I have been very blunt with people about like my expectations and boundaries now. And they just weed themselves out, which is kind of refreshing. I kind of, like you feel that little bit of like, oh, man, I thought I knew that guy. I thought that guy was cool. But, oh, well, I guess not. You get that little bit of a separation of like, oh man, that sucks. But then you kind of realize, it's not that bad. Life goes on. Things are good.
Right. I mean, I've done that for quite a few years. People give me a bad feeling. It's like, I don't want to be around that. And if that bad feeling, like people give off energy and you can pick up on that if you're attuned to that sort of thing. Not to go all fucking hippie crystals and patchouli on you. I mean, I used to date a girl that wore Birkenstocks, but that was years and years ago. But still, like, there people that are toxic have a strong, overpowering, icky, like, projection of energy about them. And you can feel that. I mean, especially like people that lived in not the greatest kind of households.
Oh,
where like, you know, say you have an older brother that beats the shit out of you all the time, or another family member does the same thing. Like, you get attuned to that. You walk in a room and you can tell the good energy from the bad energy.
Mm.
And weeding those type of energies out of your life actually improves your overall being.
And it's tough sometimes because you may meet somebody and be like, oh, yeah, this guy's pretty cool. And oh, no, they're not. But maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm thinking there's something. Maybe I'm just not picking up something off the touch. No, always go with your gut.
Yeah, exactly.
Really think that weeding people out necessarily makes you an asshole. Like I've done over the past like year and a half, and actually I think I've talked to both of you about this, but like I've done it a lot in the last year and a half where like I started thinking like when I'd say certain things to certain people in my life, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, and then instead of trying to help in any way or being like, oh, that's a great idea, I'm glad you're, you know, branching out or trying to do something different, they would like give reasons why it won't work. Like if you were to a made up example, be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna buy some land over here and I'm gonna build a house on it, and then they'd be like, oh well, you know, that's really hard and you've never built a house before, instead of being like
Debbie Downers.
Yeah, and so like just like having so many of those conversations and then realizing like then talking to other people and saying the same thing, then having them 100% be in your corner. I'm like, I want to gravitate more towards those people where it seems like we're all working towards the same thing than hang out with the people who are constantly telling you why what you're doing can't work or just generally being negative. Like, I don't think that's an asshole
right.
thing. I mean, it's just...
there's a fine line between destructive and constructive input.
Yeah,
and exactly. People that lead in with that destructive feel in what they're saying, I don't need that. Nobody needs that.
Well, I think you hit it on the head. There's like a difference between like destructive and constructive. Like you can like, okay, let's take the house building for a second. Okay. Somebody comes up to you and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying this land and building a house. You get somebody who goes, well, man, you've never built a house before. That's going to be really, really hard. You maybe you should try doing something that's more in your wheelhouse. Like do this, do that, versus a man. That's a hell of a goal. That's going to be very difficult. That's pretty cool though. What are you going to do? Like, how are you going to attack it? You know, first, you know, like there's a way of saying, there's a way of conveying the message of, man, you've never done this before. Think about it before you jump head first. And, oh man, you've never done this. You just should give up on it and go do something else.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen, but, I was thinking about purchasing a second property, and it would need work, but it would basically be the same amount of work that we've already done on the property that we have now. So we already know how to do this. It's just figuring out whether or not it's financially feasible. And we think that it is, so we were thinking about it. So I was talking to some of the people close to me, and some of them said, oh, well, what are you going to do with the property you have now? You know, are you going to rent it or sell it? You know, selling it would give you the money that you would need to fix up this other one. Or if you rent it, you know, long term, they'd be better. And then I had other people. I had one person that I was really close to say, oh, well, you know, isn't one property enough? And it's like, aren't you in my corner? Like, aren't we?
Well, like, yeah, residuals, you know, man.
Well, it's like, well, what do you mean? Like, one, it's not like I'm, you know, rolling in money or anything. So this would be like a really big risk and stuff. And like, I just did, like, I didn't say anything. I just kind of thought about that. Like, what do you mean is one enough? Like, why is that? Why would you say that? You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to better my situation. It was just, I wasn't upset about it, but I was like, maybe I don't want to surround myself with that type of energy when I'm trying to better my situation.
Yeah, and there's a fine line. Like, there's always a fine line with everything. You can say that about everything. There's a fine line between too much alcohol and too little alcohol. There's a fine line between too much weed and too little weed. Yeah, it's a fine line on everything. But it's also one of those things of you got to be careful about cutting too much. You know, it's kind of like working out. So like, you bulk up, and then you cut down to get to the shape you want to be. Well, if you cut too much, then you cut too much off, and then you end up like not where you want to be, and then you got to like bulk up again and cut again and blah, 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 blah. It's the same way with those type of people too, because like I always try to give, and maybe this is probably a fault of mine, and I'll freely admit that, because I've definitely had people in my life for a lot longer than they should have been. But I always think everybody has value. Off the bat, I'm one of the weirdest people in the world, because like, you initially get a level of trust automatically. It's like, oh, maybe this guy has some sort of value. This girl has some sort of value. There's something about our interactions that is valuable. I don't maybe know what it is yet, but there's something about our interactions that are valuable. And I am definitely one of those people that waits the longest to figure out that, oh, the interactions that we have together that is the most valuable is our separation. That's the most valuable thing out of this relationship, is when we separate. I just didn't realize it until way later. But then there's those people that you, I don't know, you just got, like, my fine line is becoming so callous where I'm like, I'm cutting people out because they don't agree with how I think. And I caught myself like back when the asshole-ish, when I started turning into an asshole that I didn't want like being. That's why I kind of went on a journey of change. But I started finding myself like cutting people out for not thinking the way I was thinking. And it was only for about 3 weeks. And then I realized, wait a second, something is horribly wrong. I am really gone down the wrong path on this one. And that's like the fine line of trying to figure out where that line is of cutting too many people out and cutting the right people out. I hope I'm making sense.
You are. I think, because I've only like hard cut, like really literally, you know, talked to somebody and said like that I cannot have you in my life twice. Like, that's what I consider cutting out, when you like look at somebody and you're like, you are so negative that I can't even talk to you. But everybody else, I kind of think of like a circle. Like, you have your big circle, and that's people, if you see them in a grocery store, you want to have a party, you might invite them to that. And then you have like an inner circle of people that you're closer to, that you see on like a daily basis, maybe like coworkers and stuff, people that you have to get along with. And then you have like the closest circle. And those are the people that you could call in the middle of the night and say, I need $20 or I need you, I'm in the middle of nowhere and I need you to come get me, or I need your pants because I shit myself. Like those people, those are the ones that you care about. And everybody else, you distance accordingly. Like you don't necessarily need to cut, but just know that like I could have a beer with this person, but I couldn't have them watch my puppy. Like there's just different levels of trust.
That's a great way of describing it. That is a very eloquent way of describing it. Thank you. Well, now that we've gone on to the deep conversations, let's gear shift a little bit because it's been a year. I'm sure you motherfuckers have been playing something. So
what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? God, how long do we have? I'm going to go with what I'm playing recently because I'm guaranteed to talk about what I've been playing before. But what I've been playing recently?
This last week.
Jesus Christ. Do we really have that much time? I'm joking. So this past week, I have been playing actually several games. I just got into a game called Exoprimal. Exoprimal came out by Capcom. It's fun, like shoot 'em up. It has a lot of Overwatch feel to it. But it's definitely quick in, quick out. You can usually get in a match and be done in about 20 to 30 minutes. So if it's something that you're like, oh man, I need to go, like, I don't want to commit to playing 15 hours of something to try to find story. You just want to like, oh, I want to do some bite-sized chunks and then kind of progress through the story as you find time. Exoprimal. Got an interesting story hopping. Very fun. Another game I've been playing, just started up yesterday, was Marauders. It's got a very Escape from Tarkov feel, but it's in space. So you actually have a spaceship. You go and breach other ships, run in, loot a bunch of stuff, and then bolt your ass out. Another great game I've been playing, and I've been playing with a few people, is Lethal Company. I'm sure people have heard of that. Lethal Company is it's four players, but you can mod it to have more. It's literally a riff on the corporate grind. It's such a riff on the corporate grind that you have to buy your own tools for going and doing this job. It's hilarious in just that on its own. Ooh, Vampire Survivors, Elder Scrolls, Skyrim. I've been playing a bunch of that. I also jumped into Final Fantasy 14 because a group of friends at work play it. So I jumped in to give it another shot. There is a free trial where you can play up to level 70 on, I think, every job class. So it really gives you enough time to like jump in and get a good amount in there. And there is so much more that I have been playing, but I won't get into all that. But Zyber, what have you been playing?
Well, in the past week, I've played Vampire Survivor, Lethal Company. Both of those I've played with you. I jumped into Left 4 Dead 2, picking my way through Skyrim to actually hopefully finish the main quest for the first time ever. I haven't done that. I've always just hopped around a lot of side quest shit and getting caught up in that way more so than Oblivion. Let's see, I've played Midnight Sun. I played last week after getting that from you. It's very interesting.
Didn't expect it to be a card game, did you?
No, I didn't. I was hoping for more of Alliance style, but card game style. All right, cool. I can deal with that. I hopped into Stray for a couple hours.
Oh, great game.
Yeah. Very interesting game. This game Skull that's kind of like Hollow Man.
Okay.
Hollow Man or Hollow Knight?
Hollow Knight, yeah. Okay. That's what I meant.
I say Hollow Man I remember from back in the 90s, and I'm like, is it that?
Right,
no.
Right.
I mean, yes.
Sunken Land I jumped into. There's a lot of potential there.
Mm.
I hope development fixes a lot of the issues with it, and it becomes a lot of That sweet spot where, you know, you can actually play it and not run into glitches every couple of minutes. Which, speaking of that, 7 Days to Die I jumped back into.
Great game.
And it's pretty goddamn stable now, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, they have come a long way on 7 Days to Die. Like,
yes, they have.
I mean, I remember playing that. God. Back before Alpha was in 1.0, like it was definitely early. And I remember how little there was in the game to do.
Yeah. Now there's like all kinds of trader missions, and the crafting is way, way different than back when we were playing on the server.
Mm.
Now, like, when you open up skills, you still have to craft a certain amount of this to unlock that next area. There's a lot of books that you have to read to actually, like, be able to do other things. It's become something pretty awesome.
Yeah, I got to admit, it is pretty cool. Yeah, God, I got to fire back. I'm hoping Sunken Lands gets some dedicated servers Have you played Sunken Lands yet, Aaron?
No, I haven't. There's a lot of these games that you guys have talked about playing that I want to play, but unless I have like a dedicated space of time, I didn't want to get into, especially stuff that's like more multiplayer. Like, I wanted to try Sea of Thieves. But
great game.
I've only seen the trailer. Like, I haven't gotten into it at all. And my biggest nightmare in my life is video games where you have to do shit underwater where things can hurt you. So, like, I'm kind of conflicted all about it. I don't know why that's my thing.
Don't play Subnautica.
Don't ever play Subnautica.
I'm going to have to at some point in time. I already know this, but
it's a great game. It really is a great game. It's so
phenomenal
good.
In VR.
No, it is not.
Oh, I just got VR.
Oh, what'd you get?
Yeah, so I got, I don't know what it's called. It's not the, like, $5,000 one, but, like, just under that. I don't know what it is.
The Vive.
I don't know what it's called.
The Index? The Quest?
It's not I think it's the Quest 2. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I didn't pay for it. It was a gift. But
Quest 2. Yeah. No, I've got that.
So I was so excited that I got it as a Christmas present. I'd always wanted to play Accounting Plus. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but it was made by the creators of Rick and Morty. And when it first came out, I wanted to play it so bad, but it was only for VR and I didn't have one. So when I got one, that's the first thing I bought. And there's, like, nothing to do. And it's only, like, a 20-minute long story. And I did it, and I was so sad. And now it's taken me a minute to, like, get back into the VR because I was so disappointed. It's not bad. Like, it's kind of, like, a fun little, like, gimmicky thing. But, like, for me, it was, like, a 3-year hype to play it. So then when I did and found out that it's just this linear path and there's not really anything to do and you can't deviate in any way, I was like, oh, well, fuck this.
So... Of VR, of your Quest, if you indeed got a Quest, have you hooked it up to your computer yet?
Yeah, so I did. I played it on the living room TV. We brought it out there, so it's bigger. And then I don't know what it's called when you have what you can see. Excuse me, what you can see in your whatever that your visor thing is called.
Yeah.
Streamed onto your television. So my husband and my brother were watching me do it, and they kept laughing at me because I can't like. I got in a car accident a couple years ago and I get dizzy sometimes now. So like, I know that when you first start playing VR, you can get dizzy anyway, but so I could play for like a couple minutes at a time, then get dizzy and they would laugh. Cause I'd just be like standing up and then I'm like, I'm just going to lower to the floor. Like just going to sit on the ground.
Did you try that, fan thing that I told you about?
No, I didn't. No, I haven't. I haven't jumped back into it yet.
So there's another thing that you can do is you can actually hook your Quest to your computer and play your Steam games through your Quest. There's an air link that you can do that you don't even need to use any cables. It's literally an air links over wireless to your computer and allows you to play all your Steam games directly through your Quest.
So we did do that once. I forgot about that, actually, but we started... My brother, husband, and I all decided that we were going to play Skyrim together, VR Skyrim on one account, but I couldn't get past like 3 or 4 minutes at a time. So I'm mostly just spectating our way through it. Mm. And just the pure joy of them just physically hacking someone apart. Like, it makes Skyrim like all new, even though it's like over a decade old game now. But like, being able to experience in a completely different way has like made it like new. And it's just, it's just, I don't know. It's just incredible to me to see like how they can experience it a different way and how happy they are just singing and pretending that they're Emperor Palpatine and electrocuting people. Like physically, they like put their arm out and they're like doing the voice and stuff. Like, it's just, it's great. I love it. Like, it's gotten me back into Skyrim again. I went down the rabbit hole. And now I'm in it on both VR and regular, like, controller through Steam.
See, with those games, I have Skyrim VR and I have Fallout 4 VR. I can't get through them because I get super dizzy and the fan doesn't do anything. But if I get up and I'm walking around, it's kind of tolerable, which makes me think if I had one of those walk harness things.
The Omni treadmills.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It'd be a lot better because then it's not that dizzying feeling of I'm moving, but I'm not moving.
Mm.
I get the same feeling when I'm afraid of heights and when I'm up really high, I get that feeling. Like when I look down, that dizzy, I'm going to puke feeling. And then onset of insane fear because, you know, I don't like heights.
So the internet says that like when you play VR that you're eventually going to get used to it. But that has not happened for me. And I was wondering if it was because of like the, like with the car accident, one of the things that I had to go to physical therapy for was that they said that my brain was telling me that I was physically in a different spot than I was. So it's literally that same feeling people get when they play VR, when they move in the game and their body tells them that they're moving in real life and they're not, and like that disconnect. Mm. So I didn't know if it was just me, but Zyber, you've had VR for a bit too. So you're experiencing that anyway. So it's not just.
No. I get it with certain games like Skyrim, Fallout 4. I can't remember the RPG that was on the Oculus that we all got at one point. Zillow or something like that.
Oh, I remember what you're talking about.
Zenith. That's what it was.
Zenith, yeah.
Yeah, I got it with that. And I haven't gone back to them because of that feeling. But other games like Super Hot or, you know,
Beat Saber, I can play all day long.
Beat Saber, yeah, same thing. Yeah,
that doesn't affect me.
Things like that don't affect me, is what I'm getting at. But
yeah, I think VR games where you're stationary are different than VR games when you're moving. Because like in Beat Saber, you're literally stationary and things are coming at you, so it's a lot easier to manipulate your brain around that. But with Skyrim, where you're walking through an environment, or even Arizona Sunshine, any of those where you're moving.
Yes, that's another one that made me really dizzy.
Oh, Arizona Sunshine?
Yes.
That's a fun game, though.
I still want to play. I played Super Hot just on Steam regularly, and I thought it was fucking awesome. Like, I loved it. I was, like, obsessed with it. I thought it was, like, the greatest thing ever, but I haven't tried it in Steam, and I don't know. Or in VR. I don't know why I haven't, like, made that jump.
I will say, with Super Hot, make sure you have open space, because I try to play Super Hot here. It's great and all, but I have so much stuff cramped into a small space. Hitting things sucks.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Especially like when there's a gun positioned somewhere and you go to grab it and you end up punching your TV or a desk or something.
Yeah, with me, it's my wife.
It doesn't count. It was accidental. It doesn't count as abuse. Yeah. You couldn't even see her. Yeah, no, it's you're fine.
Probably. I couldn't see her.
Yeah,
it's only abuse if you're in a beater.
Yeah, that's my problem, is that I got a 6.5-foot wingspan. So if I start swinging around, man, there better not be a ceiling fan or a human being or a wall or anything in my way, because I'm not going to be able to see it. I'm going to go right through it.
You're going to have to get an extension cord and set your shit up outside.
Yeah, I will. Like, that's what I'll have to do. Except I mean, you're not supposed to have that stuff out in direct sunlight, because the direct sunlight will actually destroy the lenses.
Yep.
It sucks. Shit.
I have a few of the workout things on the Oculus as well. And the same thing, like when I do the Muay Thai workout, that's another reason why I have these weights here, because they say use weights in your hands when you're doing that, and going through the like motions, you're actually holding something. And that's another thing with the Oculus that's really cool, is you don't need the like controllers in your hands for some of the stuff.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's got hand tracking.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like just having the room to do it. I wanted to do it outside, and then I looked it up and saw that direct sunlight will fuck the lenses.
Destroy the lenses. Quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not even supposed to leave it in a window where direct sunlight can hit it. Like that's how sensitive they are.
Yeah, I have a hook in a dark spot under my desk, and I have this cover that goes over the lenses just because of that reason.
Yep. I got them in my front room away from all the windows, and I've got special covers that go over top of them. I have cases.
If not in this case right here.
Yeah, I say otherwise I have them in a case. Yeah, VR's got, like, it's come, even in the past year, it's come a long way. I don't know that it's much past gimmicky yet still, but I think it's well on its way to get fully functional. Where I really am excited to see, and it's something I get to see at work a lot, is the augmented reality portion of things, where it's like, okay, you've been in VR and you play a game, whatever, but they've got augmented segments where, like, for instance, I can be looking around my room and be seeing my entire room like normal, and then pull up, boop, here's my Audacity. And in this blank space right here, I have my Audacity running. I can hit record and it's recording. And then I move it off to the side. I'm like, all right, well, now I want to fire something else up. And I pull up another piece of software, whether it be let's say it's a typing software like Word or Google Docs or whatever. I can pull that up, start working on that while I'm recording in Audacity, and then I want to throw up YouTube as well, throw up another window over there. Or some of the really cool stuff where you take a look at an object and it'll take a snapshot of it, and you can start deconstructing that object in a 3D world. So you can take a snapshot of it, and then that object is there, and then you can start taking that object apart. And depending on how fine of detail you want to program into it, you can be taking it apart as in what the actual object is, or you can just be taking apart the shape.
Like the whole Iron Man thing that Tony does, and he's like... Yeah. Drawing things apart and pulling out pieces and
exactly that. It's really wild. That's where I think things are going to come really, like, really awesome. Plus when they start, like, the Ray-Ban stories are getting better now. The newest, I think they're called meta stories. Meta Ray-Ban.
Yeah. I saw those. The newest ones. They actually look really cool.
So they fixed a big problem. The camera in there originally was like a 2-megapixel camera. It was like basically an old flip phone camera that was in it. So it was really shitty. So they updated it to like a 12-megapixel camera now. And it's actually got decent quality. But they are also working on a lens overlay, kind of like Google Glass almost.
Yeah, I heard something similar to that they're working on some kind of overface HUD sort of thing going into the lenses.
Yeah. And they're already putting in the Meta AI built into the glasses so that you can just be like, you know, hey Meta, do this type of thing, and it'll, you know, calculate out stuff for you. It's got a ways to go, but it's pretty impressive. Like it's definitely the way, like when I think steampunk and stuff like that, this is what I think of, like these glasses. Cyberpunk.
I think
No, go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, I watched, when I was a kid, there was a show called Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, and there was like a nerd character, and he had glasses. And this was before Google Glass was even a thing. And they had like a little computer, like a little tiny square on like the side of his glasses, and it would show him like looking stuff up. And he had like basically like a little like a joystick with just one thing. So he'd have that in his pocket or in his hand or whatever. And then he'd be like using the internet and looking things up or calculating, and could see it with his glasses. So when you're talking about the Ray-Bans, all I can think of is that guy with like just a little joystick or whatever. And he's like thumbing through all of the internet's information all at once. like through this one little baby lens.
Maybe that's where they got the idea from. Who knows?
Yeah, I just think it's pretty cool the stuff that they're doing with that type of technology these days, especially now getting into how they're overlaying the image by shooting light through the lens and having it pop up like basically like a hologram of sorts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just like I can't remember what car company did it, but back in the day when they would have the light shooting up through the windscreen.
Yeah, it was like Lincoln or something.
Yeah, yeah. And it would pick up obstacles in the road at night.
Yeah. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I'm forgetting who it is now, though. Yeah, there's some really cool technologies coming. But speaking of things coming up, let's get into the last portion of the show. Some things coming up. On your radar, is there anything that's coming up, whether it be technology, game, whatever, anything coming up in the horizon that you're like, man, I really got to get that, or I'm really tracking that?
For myself, it's finding out if I can join you in May.
I am actively trying to find out from that dude if you can.
If I can, I will try and move heaven and earth to be there to support you, man.
I am desperately trying to find out. I just don't want to say like, I don't want to book, be like, yeah, man, come on over. And then find out that, oh yeah, if you're not part of the race, you can't even go up and do stuff. And then you're like sitting right at the bottom of the mountain, like waiting, going, well, I guess I'll sit down here and wait for these guys. Cause they said I'll be there. I want to desperately avoid that if possible.
All right. If
I'm actively
Brent
reaching
or anyone
out.
Asks, I'm your personal security.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have to outrun the robber. I just have to outrun him. That's why I bring him.
Exactly. I'm your meat shield.
What about you, Aaron? Is there anything that you're looking like, anything coming on the horizon? You're like, yeah, that looks pretty cool. I want to track that down. Even a movie or something if it's coming out.
So I saw, I actually pulled it up on my screen because I didn't remember what day it was, but there's like a Fallout New Vegas festival in real Good Springs in Nevada. I think I put it in the gaming news or whatever, but it's like the third year that they're doing it. And it's like, it's growing really fast. Every year they've almost doubled how many people are there. And now they have like vendors that show up that make their own, like almost like props and stuff from the game. And people are showing up. It's like almost like a impromptu Comic-Con, but with like beer. And I want to go so bad.
Yes, I saw quite a few YouTube things on that. And that is something I wouldn't mind going to at some point.
When is it?
It's November 16th and 17th. So it's like a weekend where they do. Yeah. So like there's a Good Springs. They have a bar. The bar is called the Pioneer Saloon, but they made it look like the saloon from Good Springs. So like they decked it out. So it's like from Fallout. And I mean, it's got the right setting because you're in Nevada or whatever. So
yeah, they set up a whole tent town and everything. It's great.
Yeah, and they're planning on having more food and stuff because the lines last year were crazy because they didn't expect it to take off.
Yep, and they're going to have a porta potty village and everything to like make it more accommodating to now the droves of people showing up.
Oh yeah, people are showing up like in costumes that they made like a Comic-Con. Like there were people wearing like the Brotherhood of Steel armor that they made at home. People are dressing up as like NCR. I can't remember what they're called now, but like the ones that have like the dusters from the trailer and like the masks and stuff. Yeah. Like they're dressing. Oh, Rangers! The Rangers. That's what it is. And so like people are doing all this stuff, and it really makes you feel like you're there. And I saw a YouTube channel that I watched, TKS Mantis. He went and he was
like dusters, the Minutemen.
No. Well, there's the brown dusters, but then there's the black. The black dusters with the gas masks on and the helmets.
Yes. All right. Yep.
From the trailer for New Vegas, like there's like when the guy is like narrating or whatever, and he like has a sniper rifle for the trailer of.
Yeah.
That guy.
It's
like people dressed up like that. Or
New Vegas.
Me too, but I watch TKS Mantis on YouTube all the time because I'm nuts and I really like New Vegas and Fallout 4. But that's something that I really want to do. If I can put away the money and go, I want to go this year. Like, I'm excited.
Have you heard about that that show that's coming to Amazon?
The Fallout show?
Yeah.
I have. I've been tracking it a bit. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, I saw a picture of, like, somebody with, like, the full ghoul face makeup on, and that was kind of exciting, but I'm kind of worried that what's going to happen to it is the same thing that happened to, like, other video game productions where the people that are making it actually don't give a shit about the source material and, like, don't care, and then they just turn, like, the whole audience of, like, the Halo show love Halo, so that's what they want to see, and then when the producers don't stick to the material and don't follow the stories and don't care about what the character is supposed to be, then you lose your entire audience because nobody else that sees that, if they don't play Halo, they don't care. And so I am kind of worried that that's what's going to happen to Fallout, is that they're just going to do whatever they want and not respect the source material.
Well, it's the same thing that happened with The Witcher, where Henry Cavill was like, you guys are deviating far from the written stuff. And the written stuff, like the books, are fantastic. Like, there's a whole, you're retelling these stories, but you're deviating away from what the books are doing. And I don't dig that. Like, and that's why, like, there's the 40K. I think Amazon's doing a 40K show. Henry Cavill's in it. I'm excited about that because, like, I will freely admit, I am a huge nerd. Henry Cavill is like a bigger nerd. Like, he is a monstrosity of a nerd. So if he's in it, it means they're probably going to be pretty close to what the lore is, and I'm going to feel really good about it. But yeah, the Fallout, I'm exactly where you are, Aaron. I'm haphazardly like, I'm going to watch it. I'll probably fire it up and see what it's about, but I'm holding very low expectations because, like, they could do it so many ways and make it work so well. Like, if they stayed away from any of the original lore and just made it, like, literally that lore of the show, I would be fine with it. Because there's so much that happens in the Fallout universe. You don't have to do anything in any of the main storylines there. Like, you don't have to do anything in DC, or you could do in DC and be well after they were there and just be telling the story of after things happened, or before. So yeah, I'm with you.
I'm on the fence with it, but it looks interesting.
It looks good.
As long as they don't try to mimic one of the games and they try to make it something of its own, I'm cool with it. Cause anytime you try to mimic actually the game, a lot of information is left out and it's like, wait, that's not the progression of things.
Well, also with a game like Fallout, because you can go so many different directions, do so many different things, choose so many different paths, everybody, like, you can't choose one path out of that and be like, hey, this is what happened. Now it's like, well, that didn't happen for me. And now you got a bunch of people being pissed off that they're not seeing what happened with them. So it would probably be best for them to just keep it all as lore and, like, you know, like the first survivor getting out of 101. Like, they just mention that survivor making it out of 101, you know. They don't mention all the other things.
I look at it and I see the show Borderlands with a Fallout 4 skin. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I'm actually looking forward to is I'm a Dead by Daylight fan. And I am a Supermassive fan. I think I've talked enough about Supermassive games in my life that if you don't know I'm a Supermassive fan and you hung out with me at all, then obviously we don't hang out enough. But Supermassive is getting together and doing a video game in the Dead by Daylight universe called The Casting of Frank Stone. Thank you. Casting of Frank Stone. And it is in the Dead by Daylight universe, but it's a Supermassive game. So Supermassive done games like Little Nightmares and Man of Medan, The Quarry, or one of my favorites, Until Dawn. I'm getting a really big sense, like, it's going to be more like a, you know, like an Until Dawn or Man of Medan or The Quarry. But I'm super excited to see where it goes and how it goes. And I'm really hoping that they are going to bring out, like, they're going to do a dual casting. So, like, in Dead by Daylight, you get Frank Stone as a killer. And then you get the, you know, the game by Supermassive, or vice versa. You get the Supermassive game, and then you get him as a killer. I don't care. But there's a lot of cross-marketing that can go along with it. I'm all in. Supermassive and Hello Games are, like, two companies right now that I could just be like, yeah, whatever you say, like, as long as it's up my alley in any way, shape, or form, I'm buying it. Like, here's my money. Just tell me how much am I giving you? What do I need to do?
I'm looking. So I, like, Googled the casting of frankstone.com, and mm-hmm. there's part of it where it says, like, investigate or search Frank's workbench to reveal clues. And there's a button to, like, investigate. So they're already doing, obviously it's not stuff out yet, but there's already, yes, some, I didn't click it because I didn't know what was going to happen, but, like, you can do it right now where you can at least reveal clues about what the game is going to be. But then it's got, like, a couple little still frames that you can see from the upcoming game. You should probably check that out. Like, really soon. Check it out.
I try. So the thing is, like, whenever there's something that I'm hyped about, I always do my absolute best not to research into it. Cause I'm one of those, I'm one of those people that I like the surprise. I like opening it. I like going into it like a movie. If I see a trailer and I'm like, oh, that looks good, I mark down when it's coming out. And then I never watch that. Like, I never watch anything else about it ever again. Because I want to be surprised. I want to get into the movie and be like, oh, that was cool. Or I liked it for this, or I liked it for that. Go in with, like, no expectations. So, but I am going to have to check out that website, because
I think movies, speaking of movies, should just show blooper reels for the trailers. That's it. That way you actually go into a movie and get the movie instead of, oh, I saw the best parts in the trailer.
Oh, yeah, I hate that. I absolutely hate that. Well, is there any, like, I saw Beekeepers recently, or The Beekeeper with Jason Statham in it. That was actually pretty fun. You guys, have any of you seen any good movies lately?
No. I saw Night Swim. It was decent, but it was predictable.
Oh, well, I mean, come on, dude. Once you get old enough, you've seen enough movies that they are just all predictable.
Can confirm.
Well, as I say, there's plenty of other things that are coming up that I'm interested in, and I hope are going to hit the horizon. There's a ton of horror games that are coming out. And there are some leaked over from 2023 that were supposed to be in 2024. The Silent Hill remake. Silent Hill 2 remake. I'm super interested in checking that out. There's actually a Silent Hill television show that I didn't think came out already, but it already came out. I have to go watch that, but supposedly it's terrible. And I'm really hoping it's, like, B-rate bad, because I love a bad show. Like, I love a bad movie. I love a bad show. But I hope it's not, like, they really tried hard and it's bad.
Okay, it can't be any worse if a certain someone directed it. I'm not going to say the name on this recom episode. I'm just going to leave it there.
No, you're going to make me. You're going to make me invoke the man's name, aren't you? You're going to make me invoke.
I am not making you invoke anything. You just leave it at that.
You do it, peer pressure.
You're making me invoke the name.
Do
and
it.
I know if I say it five, if I say his name five times into a computer monitor, with it on, he'll actually tweet me and tell me to eat a dick. So
just do it four and a half.
You're right. If Uwe Boll had directed it, it could have been worse. There, I did it.
I concur.
I did it. Okay. I did it.
I don't know who that is. I want to be involved.
The evidence is Name of the King,
House of the Dead,
Dark, House of the Dead,
Blood Rain,
yep,
Blood Rain 2, and then for some god awful reason, Blood
Alone
Rain 3.
Alone in the Dark.
Oh, it's Christian Slater. Yeah, see, the worst part about it. So I got to give the guy props, because the guy does front his own money to make these movies. So there's that. The thing that drives me nuts is that he gets some really great people to play in these movies. And I'm like, how the fuck did you get them to play?
We figured that out. It was one of the last episodes that we were all on. We figured out that these people are doing, like, you know, at home poker games and staking. Okay, if I lose this hand, I got to shoot a film with Uwe Boll.
I believe it. Actually, you know what? That does explain it.
So I lied. I forgot. I did watch two movies recently. One of them is actually, like, phenomenal, but you're going to need subtitles because it's not in English. And then the other one is not great, but if you have an edible and you watch it, it's the best thing you've ever seen in your life. So I watch one of my favorite movies ever, Division III, Football's Finest. It's a football movie starring Andy Dick as, like, a coach of this football team. And it's just insanely quotable because he's just some, like, tiny dude with, like, a knee brace. And he just screams constantly and, like, snorts whey protein. And he's just nuts. Like, he's just out of his mind. Like, he's like, oh, run 30 miles in 30 minutes. And, like, just crazy shit. He's, like, on a bicycle hitting, like, having the players run from him. And he's got the, like, the field marker, like, that really long, that orange marker. And yep. He's, like, trying to, like, lance them with it as they're running away from him as a training exercise. That movie is fucking hilarious.
I thought he was in jail for SA actions.
He probably is, because he's a pile of crap. But this movie came out a while ago, and I just rewatched it with Grimden recently.
And by he, I mean Andy Dick.
I all of a sudden just had crap running through my head. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. That's all that went through my head.
There's one point when another coach comes up to him, and Andy Dick's character has, like, a starter pistol, but it's like a real, it's real bullets. It's not really a starter pistol. He just has a fucking pistol. And the guy's like, you can't use that. And he goes, oh no, they're just hard rubber bullets. And then he, like, aims at a crow and shoots it, and the thing fucking explodes. And he's like, but don't worry, these boys ain't made out of crows. And it's just like, I don't know. I think it's funny because I'm stupid.
Right, I have to watch that now. What's generation what?
It's a Division III, Football's Division Finest. Three. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then the actually good movie is
I don't know. I'm looking it up.
When Evil Lurks is, like, a possession movie, like a horror movie, and it's fucking awesome. It's one of those where, like, you kind of, it's like Terrifier 2, like, you kind of want to, like, look away, but you can't. So you just put your hands near your face. Like, it doesn't shy away from anything. And it's really, really good. It has incredible storytelling.
Oh, like Human Centipede 2 with the, you know, baby under the gas pedal.
Something like that. Yeah, there's like a, I don't want to have any spoilers, but, like, there's a moment when, like, a character is like eating somebody's brain, like a bowl of popcorn. They're just going to town on it, and it doesn't shy away from it at all. Like, the practical effects are really, really good. It's a really, really good movie. It's a really cool story. It just kind of leaves you sitting there afterwards, just, like, staring at your TV, being like, well, fuck, you know? But it's fucking incredible. It's called When Evil Lurks. I had to look off to the side because I couldn't remember what it was called. So I had to look it up again. But, yeah, that one's really, really good. But it's not in English, so you have to use subtitles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see it here. 2023 on AMC. Very cool. Well, on that note, thank you for all joining back in on this this first episode after a year break, trying to get this thing back up and running. We'll see what brings us. We'll see what the future has to hold. So if you're listening and you want to jump on the show, just reach out to me. I got to open the Discord back up because I think I had locked it off from anybody joining in because I started getting some weird things happening. So I'll have to open that back up and make some invites. But if you want to get into it, please just reach out. We'll get you in there. If you want to be on the show, just reach out. Just bring over to, God, what the hell is our email address? I forgot the email address.
GNA in your DNA.
GNA podcast at GNAinyourDNA.one. Oh my God. I can't believe I forgot our email address. Whew. But yeah, shoot an email over or just reach out to me. You can find me on all the major places, Facebook, was it X now? It's not Twitter, it's X. Threads, Instagram. You can find me on all the different places. There's also the GNA Podcast Facebook page. Go check that out, or go to www.gnapodcast.com. Check us out there. Zyber, can they find you any place?
Well, CJ's Reptilium on Facebook, and likewise on Instagram.
And nice. OnlyFans. Don't forget your OnlyFans.
No. OnlyFeet. That's where I am now.
Yeah, he is on his own. He is on OnlyFeet.
Correct. My bad.
But you, Aaron, can they find you any place?
Here. Here and in the Discord. I'm not anywhere. Aaron the Destroyer has been lazy. She's not anywhere.
And in the gym. Go to the gym.
And in the gym. Yeah, if you find me in real life. But, like, don't.
Yeah, she used to have a Grindr profile, but they caught on and was like, oh, wrong place.
You're not supposed to air other people's dirty laundry, but, like, it's cool. Whatever.
Oh, I love you guys. Well, y'all have a great night, or a great day, since it's actually, we're doing a midday recording on Sunday for once. So, all have a great day, and I'll catch you in a bit.
Absolutely, brother. She used to have a Grindr profile, but they caught on and was like, oh, wrong place.
You're not supposed to air other people's dirty laundry, but, like, it's cool. Whatever.
Oh, I love you guys. Well, y'all have a great night, or a great day, since it's actually, we're doing a midday recording on Sunday for once. So, all have a great day, and I'll catch you in a bit.
Absolutely, brother.
Later, taters!